evening, everybody, and welcome to the Animation Podcast, a weekly podcast about all things animation brought to you by Filmbook. My name is Matt Brunet, but some of you may know me as Animat from my YouTube channel, Electric Dragon 505, home of web series that are all about animation, including Animation Look Back and Animat's Reviews. If this is your first time here in the Animation Podcast, well, let me just say that if you are looking for a podcast that talks about animation, well, look no further. Okay, well, technically, there's a lot of them that do exist, like the Rotoscopers and the Bancroft Brothers, but this is the one that has me in it. But specifically, though, what I do is that I talk about the latest news that happened this week. So, for example, on this episode, first things first, I would go into the Golden Globes, where Zootopia was the big winner. Then afterwards, I would be taking a look at the extended look of the teaser trailer of Cars 3, where we see a little bit more of what's going on. Then we will talk about Sing, and it might go and get a brand new box office record. Then afterwards, we will be talking about the official comeback of Samurai Jack. Now it seems that Cartoon Network is actually going to be serious about it. And finally, we will end things off with Matt's Pick of the Week. If you want to check out more episodes of the Animation Podcast, then all you have to do is head on down to Filmbook, that is film-book.com, by searching the Animation Podcast. You can also go and email us at podcast@filmbook.com with the Animation Podcast in the subject line. And so, first things first, let us take a look at one of the big things that happened this week. Usually the one that is kind of like the appetizer before like the big explosion of award shows would pop in, which is the Golden Globes. What I basically like to call the Golden Globes is kind of like the appetizers to the Oscars before you get like your big entree, which is going to be coming out at the end of February or in the beginning of March. It's either one of them. I'm not 100% sure. But anyways, with the Golden Globes, like, normally not a lot has really happened. I mean, sure, you got Jimmy Fallon as the host, but, like, nothing too spectacular that really stood out. I mean, of course there are some small moments, like, you got the epic speech done by Meryl Streep, and then you also got La La Land that set a brand new Golden Globe record for the most Globes actually won by one single movie. No joke, every single category that La La Land was in, all seven of them, they won every single one of them, including Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Director, Best Movie in Musical or Comedy, and all that kind of stuff. Like, La La Land was pretty much hands down the big winner. But in terms of animation, there was only one that really did stood out. Now, thankfully, in the Best Animated Feature category, La La Land was not nominated. It's a live-action movie, so it actually gave a chance to some other films. And of course, as a lot of people would expect, Zootopia ended up becoming the big winner for Best Animated Feature at the Golden Globes. Byron Howard and Rich Moore ended up becoming the big winners to be given the Golden Globe, pretty much beating out other animated features, including Moana, My Life as a Zucchini, Sing, and Kubo and the Two Strings. So that's basically the news that we got right there. I mean, technically, like I said before, considering that La La Land won everything, just a reminder that it's not just in Best Animated Feature where some animated films actually did get some nominations. There was also Best Original Song that La La Land ended up winning for City of Stars, but a lot of animated films were also nominated there as well. There was Sing that got a nomination for the song Faith. There was Trolls that was nominated for Can't Stop the Feeling, and there was Moana for How Far I'll Go. Now, the thing is that, you know what? What's actually very interesting in here is that normally what we would do is that, considering that the Golden Globes is like the appetizer for the Oscars, the big question remains is that, considering that now the Zootopia won the Golden Globe, will this mean that it's going to be the big winner for Best Animated Feature at the Oscars? And for that, I would say most likely. Because the thing is that in terms of the Golden Globes and the Oscars with Best Animated Feature, they kind of have a reputation that they're almost in sync. Like if the Golden Globes gives this animated film to for best. If they give that animated film for best animated feature, then most likely the Oscars would do the same thing. And a lot of people are pretty much making their predictions right now. Like, they can already tell that Zootopia could be the big winner. So chances are, yes. But I just want to give you guys a little bit of a reminder, though, that it does happen when an animated film that the Golden Globe choose is not necessarily the one that would reflect on what would the Oscar choose. And it has happened a few times before. Some recent examples that I can think of in terms of the 2012 animated films, the Golden Globes would go and pick Wreck-It Ralph, and then the Oscars would come in and they would give it to Brave. And then, like, fast forward 2 years later, where the Golden Globes would give it to How to Train Your Dragon 2. And then, when you go into the Oscars, they would give it to Big Hero 6. Which, surprisingly enough, I believe they were, like, the only ones that actually gave Big Hero 6, an award for Best Animated Feature. It was during the time when, like, all the other award shows were pretty much giving it to either How to Train Your Dragon 2, the Lego Movie, and I think maybe a few of the other independent ones. Like, maybe Kaguya got a few, or even Song of the Sea got a few, but you get the picture. So, pretty much what this reflects upon is that I say that in terms of the Oscars, now there seems to be an 80% chance that it could go to Zootopia. But with that said, you might be wondering, if it ever happens that at the Oscars they don't pick Zootopia, who is it going to be? Well, for that, my say would actually be Kubo and the Two Strings, because so far that is actually Zootopia's biggest competitor in terms of award shows right now. Like, it's pretty much a head-to-head against these two. And it's not like last year where, like, a lot of people are just saying that it's a big head-to-head with Inside Out and Anomalisa, but Inside Out ends up, like, sweeping everything. No. Like, in terms of award shows, like, all the different kinds, it's gone pretty split so far. Like, Zootopia has got some, but Kubo and the Two Strings is not far behind. They actually managed to grab a few more. So, in the case that Zootopia doesn't win the Oscar, then in that situation, then it's definitely Kubo and the Two Strings. Or maybe, like, they'll pull a rat, like, maybe the Oscars would suddenly pull, like, this surprise rabbit out of a hat, and maybe they'll give it to something like Moana. They'll do something similar to when Big Hero 6 won, because that's the movie that was released in Thanksgiving, and it was, like, I'm sure you guys may recall how Oscar voters are. Like, you might have heard read the articles on Cartoon Brew and stuff like that. They usually don't care about the best animated feature category, so chances are they might just look at it and go, I'm just gonna pick Moana because that's the thing I recently just saw and my kid liked it, so I think I'm gonna go with that one, you know? Like, they could do something like that. Now, in terms of the nominations, now let's not just talk about the winners, because also the nominations is still as important to talk about. And in some cases, I'm sure, like, you could talk to someone and they'll probably agree that it's more fun trying to predict who would get nominated more so than it is to predict the winner, or at least in terms of best animated feature. Now, the thing is that so far, from what I can see, is that yeah, not all of these are going to be nominated for Best Animated Feature. I've already stated before, like, I know for a fact that Zootopia is going to get a nomination. I know for a fact for Kubo and the Two Strings is going to get a nomination. But with that said, I believe that now I think we can pretty much confirm that My Life as a Zucchini is going to get a nomination at the Oscars. Considering that if you do look back, I mentioned this in a previous episode of the animation podcast when they have announced the nominations for the Golden Globes, is that with My Life as a Zucchini, it's actually the second ever foreign animated feature film, like, not distributed by a major animation studio or, like, a major company or whatever, to ever get a nomination. It's the second time ever. Previously, it was Sylvain Chomez, The Illusionist, and that's it. So so right now, I can definitely see that My Life as a Zucchini is definitely going to get a nomination. But then you got Sing, which I highly doubt is going to get a nomination. That's just added in there because it's the, the Golden Globes, they usually always pick mainstream animated features, and I just do not see Sing being nominated. It is technically the weakest film among all the categories here. And as for Moana, yeah, there's going to be a very high chance at this point. Like, a lot of people are mostly ignoring Finding Dory in terms of awards, so yeah, definitely there's going to be a very high, there could be a high chance that Moana is going to be there. But I could definitely confirm that we're going to see Kubo, we're going to see Zootopia, and I'm pretty sure we're going to see My Life as a Zucchini. I'm going to put Moana right now as a maybe, because you never know if there's going to be a surprise plot twist. But I am still convinced that the fifth category, like the fifth nomination, it's going to be given to The Red Turtle. This is going to be a year that I'm pretty confident that we are going to see another one where basically we're going to see two independent animated features get a nomination. And I'm pretty sure The Red Turtle is going to be another one right next to My Life as a Zucchini. I mean, keep in mind, The Red Turtle is a Studio Ghibli co-production, and recently Studio Ghibli has been gathering a lot of Oscar nominations with The Wind Rises, Kaguya, when Marnie was there. So it would not be surprising whatsoever if they decided to give recognition to The Red Turtle, which I have recently seen, by the way. Beautiful film. Absolutely phenomenal. Highly recommend you go check it out. But yeah, that's basically the whole thing with the Golden Globes and what could possibly happen with the Oscars. Oh my God. Actually, before I continue on, there is one more thing I would like to mention. There is actually one more highlight of the Golden Globes that actually did happen, and it was really hilarious. It was amazing. Like, I've already mentioned before about the record-breaking La La Land, Meryl Streep's speech, but then there is also Kristen Wiig and Steve Carell when they were presenting for Best Animated Feature. That was absolutely hilarious. Like, honestly, it's really hard to explain because, like, I guess the best way to put it is, like, you definitely got to go check this out. It is, like, if you haven't seen it, definitely do so. It really is worth it. It's like they turn a tragedy into a comedy, where basically they reflect back on their first animated features, with Steve Carell's first one being Fantasia, and Kristen Wiig's first one being Bambi. And they were talking about that on that day, they remember seeing this magical movie, it's so amazing, and then Steve Carell's parents get a divorce, and then Kristen Wiig's dogs have to be put down and all that stuff. It's really hard to explain, but yeah, definitely go check it out. I mean, it's definitely the one, like, hands down the funniest moment of the Golden Globes of that year. Like, even if you don't care about the Golden Globes, definitely check it out. It absolutely is worth it. But yeah, overall, I just want to end things off with this by saying congratulations to Byron Howard and Rich Moore for getting your Golden Globe for Zootopia. Definitely is worth it. And congratulations to all the people who have worked on the animated films such as Moana, My Life as a Zucchini, Sing, and Kubo and the Two Strings on gathering your nominations. And we'll see how things will go when the Oscars come in. Okay, so for our next story right here, we're going to be going back to Cars 3. Now, the thing is with Cars 3, I've actually just talked about it last week, or maybe in one of the previous episodes not too long ago, considering there was a new teaser trailer that came out that was mostly like presenting some of the new characters along with Lightning McQueen, where it's made a little bit more like an actual car commercial where you take like a closer look on each of the characters. But then they actually gave us Pixar actually gave us what is called an extended look, where basically they took the teaser trailer that we know, not the one that I just talked about, but the one that everybody has seen and everybody was shocked over the freaking tragedy of Lightning McQueen, And they decided to extend it further, showing you what pretty much happened a little bit afterwards. And we didn't get a lot. It could still be considered a teaser trailer, not a full trailer. But basically, this is the story. So it like the first half, it starts out with the teaser trailer that we have all seen. Like, it's basically the exact same thing that pretty much happened. It's like, it's all serious. They're all in a race, and Lightning McQueen spins out of control, and he pretty much has a near-death experience. But then afterwards, it continues on. We're pretty much seeing what seems to be the aftermath of that event. We're pretty much seeing that, we're seeing his truck, Mac, just driving Lightning McQueen out on the side, like, after that whole thing happened, and then we're hearing news reports about, like, if Lightning McQueen could possibly be out of touch, and then, like, we see McQueen just there, he's like, no, I am not. And right afterwards, we're introduced by the new characters, the two main new characters. First off, it is Jackson Storm, which is the brand new car that just came into the scene, and, like, he's now the new hotshot racer, where using the latest and greatest technology, they pretty much engineered him to become, like, the greatest racer that ever lived, that nobody can beat him whatsoever. But then, there's this other car that came in, Cruz Ramirez, that she's also a new car as well, but she wants to help out Lightning McQueen, you know, to, no pun intended, to get back in the race, you know, to put himself back on his wheels and to go out there and try to do his best to actually be in the same caliber as Jackson Storm. And that's basically all that you're getting right now with the Cars 3 extended look trailer. What is actually interesting is that you don't really get any of the other characters from Radiator Springs. You don't get Mater, you don't get Sally, you don't get any of the other residents. You don't even go back to Radiator Springs. It's all about Lightning McQueen. It's just about him. But honestly, when I was looking at this, there's a little bit of an interesting discovery that I did find. And I don't know if it's a little bit of a coincidence, but I do have a little bit of a theory and a little bit more of a good idea of what Cars 3 could potentially be. Now, listen up, it might sound crazy, but I believe Cars 3 is going into the same direction as Rocky 4. Now, if you don't believe me, listen up. Okay, of course, like, you got Lightning McQueen, who is Rocky in this situation. But the biggest reason why I say this is because of Jackson Storm. The way that they're presenting this character is exactly like Ivan Drago. Now, think about it. Now, basically, both these characters, they're more like the antagonist of their own respective feature film. With Ivan Drago, he's the villain of Rocky IV. With Cars 3, he seems to be the villain of Cars 3. Like, that's basically the whole idea. But the thing is that the similarities that they have is that they're both basically training with the latest technology. This is basically telling you it's the new age of building athletes in a way. With Ivan Drago, they're pretty much using all the technological capabilities that Russia can have in order to create this superhuman to go and literally destroy anybody he's fighting against. Like, I think this is the one where he legit killed off Apollo Creed. But then with Jackson Storm, like, he's using all the latest technology in order to become the greatest racer he can ever be, in order to go and win races, and potentially, who knows, he actually could be responsible for Lightning McQueen to just spin off and possibly kill himself. I mean, who knows, maybe there could be more similarities when we'll see the movie. Like, Jackson Storm could legitimately kill off another racer or something like that. You know, it's like, if you think back, it could be something a little bit more serious than what they did in the first Cars, where the green car who's like a villain, like, you know, the guy that's like ka-chiga, 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 chiga, chiga, like that guy, he pretty much spun off the Dynaco champion to go and win the race. It could be like, we could be seeing something like that, but a lot more serious. Like, Jackson Storm is not going to have a single care, and he's going to spin out some other cars to the point of just flat out killing them. And who knows, maybe they could even be going into the direction of How to Train Your Dragon 2, where they could even kill off a recognizable character. Like, maybe they'll kill off Sally, or I don't know, like, someone in the race, at least. Who knows, like, or maybe, like, he could even kill off Cruz Ramirez. I don't know. It's just assumptions right now, but that's pretty much the feeling that I'm getting, is that basically they're taking Cars 3 and turn it into Rocky 4. But one thing I can guarantee is that this looks like it's going to be a lot more serious than it was before. They're definitely going to be going into a more darker tone with it. They're going to put all the Radiator Springs comedy onto the side. Like, and what's actually very surprising is that we have yet to see Mater, because so far the biggest characters that this movie is pretty much advertising for Cars, it's basically we're just seeing Lightning McQueen, Jackson Storm, and Cruz Ramirez, and that's pretty much it. We're not even seeing characters from Cars 2. Like, we don't have the Michael Caine car, we don't have Francesco, we don't even see the purple spy car that ended up becoming Mater's girlfriend for some reason. Like, we're seeing all of, like, we have yet to see any of those. Those are pretty much the main three cars, and that's pretty much it. So, is it going to be pretty good? Is it going to be bad? Who knows? But basically, we're going to be getting Rocky 4, or, I mean, we're going to get Cars 3. Either way, it's starting to look like the same thing. And if you guys are actually excited to see what's going on with Cars 3, the movie will be coming out June 16th of this year. So we'll wait and see. Maybe we'll find some new respect for Cars after the tragedy that is Cars 2. Okay, so for our next story right here, we're going to be talking about Sing, the latest animated feature that is out in theaters, and so far, it has been getting some pretty good attention. Like, not necessarily, like, fantastic. It's not one of the standout animated films of the year, much like Moana or Zootopia or Kubo and the Two Strings, but it is still doing pretty well for itself. I think that, I believe many people do agree that Sing is a pretty good movie. Not great, like I said, not like one of the standout best animated films of 2016, but still pretty good nonetheless. But the one thing that is actually quite interesting is that nobody actually does pay close attention to how it's doing at the box office, considering that it never made it to the top, especially when it's always in competition with Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. That's basically the whole idea. But what is actually interesting is that even though nobody is really paying attention to it, Cartoon Brew actually did. And it noticed that there is actually a little bit of a pattern that's actually going on. And if it keeps up with how things are going with Sing, then it could actually be setting off a brand new record. An unusual record, but something that I would say that it sounds weird at first, but one that is quite impressive. And the record that I am talking about is that Sing could end up becoming the highest grossing wide release feature film to never make it at number one at the box office. Currently, right now, as I'm recording this, Sing is actually pretty close to get $220 million domestically, which is actually really, really good, especially the fact that it never made it into first place at the box office. That's actually really impressive. And so far on its rankings, it is pretty high up there to reach that record. So far, it has already beaten the first Alvin and the Chipmunks movie, and pretty soon after this weekend, I can pretty much confirm that it's going to beat off Alvin and the Chipmunks, the Squeakquel, for that record. But some of you might be wondering, who is the reigning champion so far? Who does currently have the record of the highest grossing wide release feature film to never make it at number one at the box office? Well, interestingly enough, it is actually My Big Fat Greek Wedding, which actually holds more than $240 million at the box office, at the domestic box office on top of that. Now, the thing is that right now, like I said before, Sing currently holds on to just $220 million. So, or like at least a little bit less than that. So, of course, and especially the fact also on top of that, that it's going for like its what, third or fourth week or something like that. Like it was released just before Christmas. So, would there be a possibility that Sing could end up beating that record? It could actually surpass My Big Fat Greek Wedding. And the answer is that I think I can pretty much confirm that yes, it will in fact get that record. Because here's the thing. Some people are even predicting that in terms of the domestic box office, Sing could actually end up getting a little bit more or just around $300 million. And so far, the thing is that when you look at the track record at what Sing is doing, like looking at last week, Sing actually made a total of $20 million during the weekend. So by this weekend, who knows what it could end up getting? Of course, it's going to be a little bit less. I'm not expecting like a little bit too down. It's not going to end up just getting $5 million at the box office. I'm imagining like it's still going to get into the 8-digit number range. Like for this weekend, it could be possible it'll just get around maybe $15 million. But I can guarantee you, like, with the rate, with the pacing that it's going, that in the next 2 weeks, Sing is actually gonna go and get that record. And it's still gonna be a really, really successful animated feature, more so than most other animated movies that even actually made it into first place at the box office. It's actually really impressive. The fact that like it never made it at number one at the box office, being always overshadowed by Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. And and of course, like what really, you know, another element that really does help that fact that I know it will beat that record is the fact that when you look ahead, there really isn't a lot of animated films or even family films that are going to be coming out. I mean, keep in mind, we are in January. This is usually considered a dead month in terms of movies in general. In fact, normally, this is where, like, usually some really bad stuff would come out. I mean, case in point, I mean, okay, maybe it's not true what I said about there isn't going to be any family or even animated films that are going to be coming out. Like technically there is Monster Trucks, but let's be honest, guys, you look at Monster Trucks, do you honestly think it's going to be a massive box office hit? Are you guys kidding me with that thing? No, it's gonna, like, everybody knows for a fact that this thing is gonna be a freaking bomb. And even like Sing going on its fourth week or something like that, like, it's definitely gonna go and beat out something like Monster Trucks. Come on. So that's the thing, is that so far, Sing remains as the only animated film that's on top so far. And even, like, the legit next animated feature that will be coming out, it's going to be the Lego Batman movie. And that thing is not going to be coming out until mid-February. So it's, like, Sing is still in the clear to go and rank up more money at the box office. And especially, I mean, keep in mind, we're also talking about an Illumination film. And the marketing that they have done, like, Illumination's marketing team, they're freaking kings. They know what they're doing, and they know how to turn an animated film and turn it into such a massive success. I mean, they've already done so with the Despicable Me films, and they actually did that in 2016 with, they did it with The Secret Life of Pets. turn it, like, they pretty much turned it into one of the most successful movies of the summer and one of the most successful movies of 2016, which really is quite incredible considering with all the reboots and the big franchises that came out. This original animated film just about pets with a story that completely rips off Toy Story managed to beat that to go and beat out all of those. So with that said, I am definitely confident that we're going to see Sing beat that record. And at the end of the day, like, when its box office run is going to be done, I'm predicting so far, at least domestically, it's going to go and get in between somewhere between $250 million to $300 million, somewhere around that. Like, it's going to be hard to imagine that it's going to get a lot more than $300 million, or even if it's going to go and get into the same numbers as The Secret Life of Pets. But honestly, who knows? Like, my safe bet is going to be in between that, $250 and $300. Now, in terms of the how it's going to do at the box office globally, like worldwide, well, that we'll have to wait and see. We gotta wait until, like, it's gonna be released in more and more countries. So let's just wait on that. But for now, I can pretty much guarantee that Sing is definitely gonna get this record. At least by the end of January, it's gonna make it. Okay, so for our next story, we're going to be talking about something that we're supposed to have right now. Something that's supposed to happen in 2016, but it didn't for some reason. And I am, of course, talking about Samurai Jack. Now, if you guys remember, at the end of 2015, everybody got so hyped up over the fact that Samurai Jack is going to be making a comeback, and we will finally see the conclusion that Genndy Tartakovsky always wanted to go and create. It was something that he tried to develop for so long, rather it be through comics or try to create a movie or try to make more seasons out of it, but it ended up not happening. So with that said, like, we've had the announcement, but then afterwards, we didn't really get much news out of it. Like, sure, there was that one point that in the Annecy Animation Film Festival, they did show a bit of a work in progress, episode of it, and, like, the crowd went wild, apparently. But then afterwards, that's pretty much it. We didn't hear anything else. Like, the most that we got is that apparently Genndy Tartakovsky decided that apparently money is more important than creativity and maintaining a reputation, and decided to go and work on Hotel Transylvania 3, and that's pretty much it. So we didn't really get a lot of news regarding Samurai Jack until now. Now, the thing is that with the comeback of Samurai Jack, we don't really got a lot of news about it directly. The only thing that we know so far is that apparently Cartoon Network is gonna go and they will release it sometime this year. We don't have a confirmed release date, but it's gonna be somewhere in 2017. However, they are gonna do something to go prepare themselves for the fifth season of Samurai Jack. And here's what they're gonna do. Now, on Adult Swim, they are going to go and re-air every single episode of Samurai Jack. So it's going to start like every Saturday at 8:30 p.m. They're going to go and release an episode of Samurai Jack, and it's just going to go and continue on from there. Like, one episode per week until the final moment that, like, it actually occurred. Now we are actually going to get Samurai Jack. Now, here is what's actually pretty interesting. The thing is that when you look back at the episodes we already have with Samurai Jack, there are a total of approximately 52 episodes. And it does worry me a little bit if Cartoon Network and Adult Swim, they're just gonna do that, you know? They're just gonna go and release one episode every week. Because the thing is, if there's 52 episodes, then we're not going to be getting Samurai Jack, like the fifth season of Samurai Jack, until in 2018, like in the beginning of 2018. That, like, you have to go through a whole year of Samurai Jack reruns before getting the brand new episodes. So, and honestly, the one thing that I do have to say, if I have to criticize Adult Swim and Cartoon Network, is that I honestly don't know why they're being so transparent regarding the making of Samurai Jack. Because, like, we really didn't get a lot of news out of it. And, like, this is hands down Cartoon Network's most anticipated show, or at least, like, the most anticipated series that they got coming up so far in a long time, more so than whatever crap that they got coming up. Like, I'm sure a lot more people are more excited to see the comeback of Samurai Jack than something like the reboot of Ben 10. And why they're being so silent about it, honestly, I just find it to be kind of weird. I mean, even, like, when you look at something like Rick and Morty, like, I know that Justin Roiland, he keeps on giving us, like, constant updates about what's going to be going on with the show, what's their progress, things are going fine. You know, and then, like, with Samurai Jack, they decided to just, like, zip, be silent. Nothing said whatsoever. And I mean, like, I think, like, if you're going to talk about something that is really anticipated, you might as well give us some updates on what's going to be going on with that show. Especially the fact that Samurai Jack, it was Cartoon Network's, one of Cartoon Network's most praised shows that they have ever made. Considering, like, this is a show that actually ended up getting 4 Emmy Awards. No joke. Like, it ended up grabbing some Emmys away from The Simpsons. And that is actually quite an achievement that you can do with an animated TV series. Like, hands down. But yeah, like, but as you could probably tell, I'm definitely one of those people that's absolutely excited for the comeback of Samurai Jack. And, like, at the very least, the strategy that Cartoon Network is doing pretty much here, like, by re-airing some of the episodes until, like, the new episodes are going to be coming up, like, it is a pretty good idea that we are going to be seeing, like, a bit of a look back, like, okay, here's what's pretty much what's happening, and now we got the new one coming up. You know, it's also, like, it's not only a good thing to hype up the current fans, but it's also going to be a great idea to bring in some new fans as well, to reintroduce new audiences, yeah, to basically introduce new audiences to what Samurai Jack is all about, so they can go and catch up on all the episodes of Samurai Jack to go and see, like, what's going on with the show until, like, we can finally see the grand finale with it. And I'm definitely excited with it. So, again, just to mention that there are no confirmations whatsoever with when the new episodes of Samurai Jack are going to be coming out. But one thing we can guarantee is that on January 14th, starting on January 14th at 8:30 p.m., they will go and air every episode of Samurai Jack each Saturday. So just try to reserve your Saturdays for that time, or set your PVRs to go and record that, because we're going to be getting one hell of a comeback of Samurai Jack. And so finally, we will end things off with Matt's pick of the week. And so for this week, what we have right here, it's one of those news that it keeps on happening, but I'm looking at this and I'm just thinking to myself, it's like, why is this a thing? Like, I ask that every time this happens. But before I get into it specifically, let me just talk to you guys a little bit about the Jetsons. And I'm sure, like, if you're listening to this, you're probably familiar with what the Jetsons is, right? I mean, it's a show that basically you got George Jetson, you got Judy, you got Astro, and you got all these characters. Like, one of the more popular Hanna-Barbera shows is basically the space futuristic version of the Flintstones. Now, with that said, there had been long rumors. I remember when it was a thing that there would be this Jetsons movie that would come out. Like, technically, yes, we got the 1990 Jetsons movie that honestly really sucked. But no, like, this time we're going to get, like, a more legit one. Like, some people even say that it was a live action movie. So the talks have been going on for so long, but nothing really came out of it. It just became a rumor. It's a lot like the Johnny Quest movie or anything like that. Like, there have been talks about many different things, but we're not seeing anything that's been going on about it just yet. Until now, though. And I have some good news and some bad news. The good news is that we are now officially going to be getting a brand new Jetsons movie. The bad news? It is a crossover with frickin' wrestlers. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the Jetsons and WWE Robo WrestleMania. And yes, this is legitimately gonna be a thing. And it's what's even worse is that it's just right around the corner. Okay, but beforehand, you might be wondering, what is the Jetsons and WWE Robo WrestleMania? Like, what is this all about? Okay, now the thing is, believe it or not, a trailer is actually released. Yeah, they legitimately just brought out a trailer this week. And here's what the story is all about, from what I pretty much gathered from the trailer. So basically, George Jetson was appointed this new job, like not a new full-time job, but just a new job in general, like a new operation to go and check out a few things that's going on in the back. And then suddenly, George Jetson just stumbled upon the frozen body of Big Show. So he decided, okay, why not? I'm just going to go unfreeze Big Show and introduce him to the future. So basically what's going on is that now Big Show is experiencing some Futurama stuff where he realized that now he is pretty much 100 years into the future and he's pretty much freaking out. And the one thing that he has to know is pretty much what's going on with WWE. Well, like, what's the current status of WWE in the future? And to his surprise, apparently, humans are no longer allowed to wrestle. It's all robots. So, basically, he Big Show got pissed off, and he pretty much just went on a rampage. Okay, now, before I continue on, let me just say that so far, I was actually a bit intrigued. You know, like, we're actually seeing a bit of a character arc with Big Show, so that's pretty much, you know, we're getting something pretty interesting going on, and, you know, like, we're seeing more depth into some characters, like, maybe not just with George Jetson and with the other Jetsons, but especially with Big Show. Like, he seems to be the star of this movie, and, like, we could be seeing, you know, something new from him. But then it continued, and things just got a whole lot stupid. So because Big Show was not pleased that the WWE is now robots only, now Big Show legit wants to take over the world. Like, no joke, he legit declared he wants to go take over the world. And guess what? He did! So apparently George Jetson just realized, oh crap, I just screwed up by unfreezing Big Show, and now he just dominated the whole planet. That's basically what happened. So now the world is pretty much dominated by Big Show. Yeah, forget about the tyranny of Donald Trump. Now the world has to tremble upon frickin' Big Show. So what does George Jetson and the Jetsons do? They got a plan. They decided they're going to go back in time 100 years to go and get more WWE wrestlers to go and stop Big Show in the future. And the ones that George Jetson decided to go and get, they include Mr. Mick Mahone, the USO Brothers, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Alicia Fox, and Sheamus. That's basically the whole plot that you got. Now, before I continue on, like, okay, basically, I told you the whole summary of the movie, or at least what I got from the trailer, but, like, before I can continue with at least my thoughts on it, let me just go and get into my source here on IGN, where we do have some quotes here from Mary Ellen Thomas, the Vice President of Warner Brothers Home Entertainment, and also family and animation marketing. She stated, we have seen great success with recent titles in partnership with WWE, including movies featuring beloved characters Scooby-Doo and the Flintstones. Warner Brothers Home Entertainment is proud to add the Jetsons, another iconic franchise, to this collection of adventures alongside the WWE superstars fans love. And then on top of that, we got another quote here from Michael Luisi, from the president of the WWE Studios, saying, "The Jetsons are such beloved characters by audiences of all ages, and it was an ideal opportunity to pair them with our animated WWE stars and work together again with Warner Brothers Home Entertainment. Leading up to WrestleMania 33, our fans will have the chance to enjoy this brand new adventure and see their favorite WWE superstars in a whole new way." So, yeah, basically, like, honestly, every time I see this news, rather it be, like, whenever an animated franchise decided to go pair up with WWE superstars, I'm just sitting there thinking, why? Like, seriously, why? I mean, like, do we really need this? Do we really need a crossover of the Jetsons and WWE? I mean, for God's sakes, like, I understood that, like, during the show, like, with the Flintstones and the Jetsons, sometimes they would get special guest stars, and they would be, like, either cavemen or futuristic versions of them, of the guest stars, you know? I understand that. But wrestling? Like, where in the Jetsons universe did you immediately think, oh, we need more, like, oh, this is the part where it reminds me of wrestling. Like, we need wrestlers. Oh, like, wouldn't it be cool if we have Big Show or Alicia Fox or Mr. Mick Mahone, like, suddenly in the world of the Jetsons? Like, why? It just makes no sense to me whatsoever. And keep in mind, remember, this is not the first time, and I'm sure you guys are well aware that this isn't the first time that WWE has teamed up with an animated franchise to go and be, like, to go and make an animated movie out of it. You know, like I stated in here, like, they've already done the Flintstones, they've already done Scooby-Doo twice. Yeah, there are now two Scooby-Doo movies where they team up with wrestlers. And I mean, like, they don't just stick with the Hanna-Barbera shows either. WWE is going into other ventures. Like, they're going into other venues. They're going with Sony Pictures Animation to do a sequel to Surf's Up, which the idea of a Surf's Up sequel is crazy enough, but now they gotta add in freaking wrestlers, which really, like, honestly, I just don't freaking understand that. I still don't understand it to this day. And yet somehow, like, what's actually even more surprising is the fact that they're actually gonna go and release it very, very soon. Like, keep in mind, it's just, like, the release of Surf's Up 2 Wave Mania is just around the corner. And honestly, I just recently realized this, that another venue that WWE is starting to try to take over is the freaking US government. Keep in mind, Trump actually did appoint a Mick Mahone to be working in the government. I kid you not. Like, WrestleMania is starting to become like the simian virus, like the simian virus in the recent Planet of the Apes movies. It's starting to be spreading where we're starting to see WrestleMania, like, a little bit of everywhere. And it's starting, and, like, WrestleMania is starting to freaking dominate the animation. Yeah, like, basically, it's starting to dominate, like, the direct-to-DVD animation market. And who knows, like, what else could they do? And especially the fact that, like, they're starting to seep into the government. Like, who knows what could happen? I mean, like, and especially with animated films, like, what other direct-to-DVD ventures are they gonna go? Seriously. Like, are they gonna do more Sony Pictures animation films and they'll suddenly team up with, like, the Smurfs or Open Season? Or, like, are they gonna do with other, like, other movies that are gonna be direct-to-DVD releases? Like, are they gonna go and do, like, Alpha and Omega? Like, suddenly Alpha and Omega and more wrestlers. Like, why the fridge not? Or even, like, how about we add in wrestler, like, We add in wrestlers. We're gonna have wrestling stars like Big Show, John Cena, The Undertaker take on frickin' Norm of the North. Because why the fridge not? I kid you, like, I swear. The thing is that with, you know, honestly, we just need a few more of these animated WWE movies. And soon, it's going to become an entire genre of its own. Like, soon we're going to have an entire genre of animated franchises that are going to do crossovers with WrestleMania. And, like, speaking of, like, expanding upon it, like, I'm sure, like, in the future, maybe they'll think of adding in more, like, Hanna-Barbera shows. Like, who knows? Like, maybe we'll see Wacky Races team up with WrestleMania, where we're gonna have, like this combination of racing and wrestling. Because, like, who knows? They could possibly do that. Or even, like, maybe they'll do more crossovers with other popular characters. I mean, like, maybe after Tom and Jerry is done doing their little things with, just doing their little adventures with Wizard of Oz, they can go and do some wrestling. Or even, like, Yogi Bear. Suddenly, like, Yogi Bear is going to be coming out, and, like, maybe he'll have many crossovers with other characters like Snagglepuss or Huckleberry Hound or Quick Draw McGraw. And then, they'll be with wrestlers. Who knows? The sky's the freaking limit at this point. My God. And especially, like, just what we got with the Jetsons. For a second, like, it got me reeled in with, like, the recently thought out Big Show, and then things just immediately got stupid. And honestly, I don't know how things, like, and I'm gonna be very honest with you guys, I have yet to see any of these, like, WrestleMania animated movies. Like, I don't know how they are, but for the most part, like, from, like, speaking with the people who have seen it, like, they pretty much reassured me that, yes, they do suck. At best that they can be, it's, like, so bad, it's amazing. Like, I think that's one of the things that, I remember I talked with a few friends, and they mentioned to me that I think one of the animated Scooby-Doo movies it's actually like that, where it's, like, so bad, it's so stupid, that it's, like, its existence is absolutely phenomenal, and it's, like, right now in the levels of somewhere like The Room or Trolls 2, but who the fridge knows? But, yeah, basically, like, I'm just astonished that, I don't know why WWE decided to enter into the animation industry, and my God, it wouldn't surprise me if the day would come, if WWE would ever decide they want to go and do, like, one of these animated crossovers and release that in theaters. Like, somehow there's going to be a company out there who would be crazy enough, rather it be Warner Brothers or even freaking Sony, that would be crazy enough to go and actually, legitimately put that as, a theatrical wide release feature film. Who knows? But so far, WrestleMania is going hog wild with this, and who knows, who's gonna stop them, seriously. Like, they really are becoming like Big Show, where they just want to dominate the animation world. And with that said, that is all that I've got for this week, so thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Animation Podcast. You can find more of my work at film-book.com. All you have to do is just search for Mathieu Brunet or the Animation Podcast. You can also find me on Twitter at anime505. And if you have listened to this episode on iTunes or any other podcast service, do you mind doing us a little favor and rate and review this episode? That would be great. And if you are listening to this podcast on YouTube, then hit that like button on our video and leave us on a comment on your thoughts about the news this week. Tune in next week for the latest episode of the Animation Podcast and all things animation. Thank you guys so much for listening, and until next week, see you later, dudes.